From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, we're going to take a little break and talk about your favorite car. I kid you not. Here's what's happening. Already 15 protesters arrested in New York. As they chanted anti-Donald Trump slogans, they flooded city streets across several cities in the United States as they gathered also near the White House, disheartened and dismayed, yelling, "Not my president, not today." Many across the nation screamed that. In cities from Boston to Los Angeles, thousands of demonstrators gathered Wednesday night in protest of election results that mean the billionaire real estate developer will be the next president. As many as 5,000 people were at the protest in New York, and like I just said, 15 protesters arrested for disorderly conduct right now. Folks, look, you have the right to protest, but give the president-elect a chance. See what he does. Then if you don't like it, go out in the streets and protest. But to start now, And the election of Donald Trump, of course, as the next U.S. president, was met with disbelief and despondency among some United Nations officials and diplomats amid uncertainty surrounding his foreign policy and likely engagement with the worldly body. Trump has described the 71-year-old United Nations as weak and incompetent and threatened to pull out of a global deal to combat climate change as well, a cornerstone of the legacy of the United Nations at this point. General Motors Company plans to lay off 2,000 employees at two U.S. auto plants in early 2017. Plants are going to be in Ohio and in Michigan. Slow-selling cars, Chevrolet and Cadillac. Our new president will have a lot to work on. Former Bayou billionaire star Valerie Dowden Wells was killed Monday in an apparent murder-suicide. The Shreveport, Louisiana native was shot several times in her car near a McDonald's parking lot, apparently the person she was dating. Now, last night, of course, and as he has for the last 12 presidential elections, that's 48 years, John Hogue, our expert on prophecy, has predicted the presidential outcome by popular vote. 12 elections in a row. Last night on this program, John conceded. He said he was wrong this time. It made him 12-1. I stopped him. I said, look, I'm looking at trends here, John, and it looks like Hillary Clinton is going to get the popular vote. Well, John Hogue, I was right.
You were indeed, George. You know, after our late show, I went back, got some sleep, and then I woke up, and with that thought in my mind, I just went and saw that right now she's tracking at 227,880 votes, more votes than Donald Trump. So, you know, it's kind of a conundrum. It's probably going to have a lot of people out there having a cow, but that seems natural for this night. But you know, I have to say you were right. So I just wanted to officially declare that I am 13-0 in picking the popular vote.
Talk to you in 4 years, John. We'll talk to you before that. But you know what? You will have another election to predict. California, Massachusetts, and Nevada legalized marijuana in what advocates say was a reflection of the country's changing attitude toward the drug. Let's check in with Chris Conrad, who's a court-qualified expert on cannabis and the curator of the Hash Marijuana Hemp Museum in Amsterdam. Chris, let's talk about this election through several of these states. It seems like more and more states are legalizing marijuana for small recreational use and medicinal use.
Yeah, it's a pretty incredible night last night. We have cannabis uniting the nation, which is otherwise pretty divided. And basically eight out of the nine initiatives were passed, five of them for non-medical use and four of them for medical use. And it's like a very diverse group of states, Montana, Arkansas, Florida, and North Dakota all passed medical marijuana laws. California, Maine, Massachusetts, and Nevada passed non-medical adult use. Arizona came this year then rolling for everything.
And Chris, what does this tell you about the changing habits of Americans?
Well, one thing he tells me is I picked a good time to put out my new book, The Newbie's Guide to the Industry.
Yes, you did.
The other thing, though, is I think that people have just begun to accept this as part of the culture of the society. You know, it's been pretty common for 40 years now, and people are used to the medical aspect of it. And so it's kind of like part of this wave of too much government is partially embodying this. People just don't need the government telling them whether they can smoke marijuana or not at this point.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. And during this campaign, of course, John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's campaign manager, of course, wanted more information about UFOs. And everybody was saying that if Hillary is elected, we may get the answers. We might get disclosure about UFOs, visitations. Stephen Bassett, of course, is the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group. Stephen, the fact that Donald Trump is now the president-elect, does that mean that the quest for this information, disclosure, goes away because Hillary Clinton will go away? What happens?
Over the last 2 years, Paradigm Research Group was able to generate over almost 1,000 articles worldwide about the Clinton ET connection and the Rockefeller Initiative. There's 35 reporters that are working with PRG. As a result, Hillary Clinton was forced to speak to this. Obama was forced to speak to this. He went on several shows. So did her husband. Unprecedented. More political coverage in the last 70 years combined. And we were in very good shape. If she had won the election, we would have been in a very strong position to push hard to get action. By losing the election, we're down to 70 days. PRG has done everything it can to try to get the Clintons and Obama to make a move on disclosure before the inauguration. There's some political and psychological reasons why they might do this. If that doesn't happen by the inauguration, then everything is up in the air, and I have no path forward at that point.
Okay, we've got some contacts with the Trump administration, so we might be able to help you there, Stephen.
Again, he's never said a thing about it. I'm certain he knows nothing about it, but he is a total wild card. There's no way to know what could happen there, but obviously if the opportunity arises, we'll certainly try to engage him. About what we had with the Clintons, enormous investment and time and effort. I can't even begin to tell you.
Your disappointment, it's obvious how disappointed you are, Stephen.
It's not about disappointed that she didn't become president. It's about disappointed that we had the perfect situation
right
to bring about disclosure in a very short amount of time, and now I don't know.
Okay, thanks. Stephen Bassett, very disappointed. Paralyzed people could walk again instantly after scientists developed a brain implant which turns thought into electrical signals so that the lost feeling can be restored after injury right down to the spinal cord. Isn't that an amazing story? How about this? Now, remember a lot of people said, look, if you have some infections, drink cranberry juice. It'll make it go away. Well, now some researchers are saying, no. Cranberry juice doesn't do anything to help that. I'm not so sure. In a moment, pharmacist Ben Fuchs joins us, criticalhealthnews.com. They are one of our major sponsors, of course, and I'm going to give you that website again. You might as well get started looking at it, criticalhealthnews.com, and the toll-free number, 1-855-949-7234. Pharmacist Ben is with us next, and later on we'll take your phone calls to make you a little healthier next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Pharmacist Ben, of course, is part of the CriticalHealthNews.com team, a great team set up to help you get a little healthier. Ben, I have got a slew of emails to go through from people who have sent in quick questions and notes. Tom has his text phone, and we're going to tweet questions for you. But how you been?
Good to talk to you again, George. I'm doing great.
Great. It's always good to hear from you. You ready for the holidays? I can't believe how fast they are coming.
Can you believe how fast the years are going by? The year and the years.
All right. It's the time of year where people eat a little bit too much.
And you know what? That's the exact time that you want to get on a nutritional supplement program, because the more you supplement, the less you're going to want to eat.
That's true. That's a good point. What about people who cannot diet, can't stop eating, and they go in and get their stomach stapled?
You know, isn't that amazing? You'll lose weight when you get your stomach stapled, but anytime you have a surgical procedure, you're playing with fire. We have this idea that you can go into the operating room, get your body cut up, and just come out, and everything will be just normal. And that's not the way it works. The human body goes through
amazing distress when it is cut up in a surgical procedure. You know, what's the drug they give you after you have a surgical procedure? Everybody gets this after a surgery. It's a blood thinning drug. The reason being that when you're on the operating table and you get cut up, the body doesn't know it's in an operating room in a hospital. It thinks it's on the African
savannah. It starts clotting, right?
Yeah, it starts clotting. It thinks it's on the African savannah. It got its leg bitten by a tiger, so it clots so you don't hemorrhage to death. So you get a blood thinner. And this is so important because we have this mentality about the medical model that for some reason or another, we believe we can be drugged and we can be surgically manipulated and we'll just come out and be perfectly fine. And that's not how it works. If you interface with the medical model, you better be paying close attention to everything that's possible, all the likely ramifications that can occur from prescription drugs in terms of side effects and adverse reactions, from surgical procedures and deaths. We know that medical procedures are a leading cause of death. In fact, they're, I think, the third or fourth leading cause of death. Not that doctors are bad people. It's just that medical procedures are inherently risky. And medicine is not a science as much as it's an art. You know, there's a really neat book that I'm reading now called Snowballs in a Blizzard that underscores this idea of uncertainty in medicine. And unfortunately, because of marketing interests and corporate interests and money interests, we are led to believe that you can just go to the doctor and get a prescription pill or have a surgical procedure done or interface somehow with the medical model and just come out and be better for it. And that is flat out not the case.
I was in Santa Clara, California a couple weekends ago at AlienCon. And I had some people, not aliens, come up to me with thumbs up talking about you and Dr. Wallach.
Awesome.
And Joanne Conway. And just so much help they were talking about. How informational you folks have been to give people the kind of information they need to make themselves better.
Well, we're all lovers of humanity. We're all lovers of the human body. And we've seen what happens when people start to take care of their health in terms of nutritional supplementation, exercise, diet, mental and emotional strategies. You can change your life on a dime. The body can turn on a dime, but we have to turn on a dime with it.
What did you think about that story I just had that some researchers are saying cranberry juice doesn't help you with any kind of urinary tract infections?
Well, you know, we like to think in slogans. So when we hear of like panaceas or foods that have health properties, we think, oh, if I have a urinary tract infection, I'll just take some cranberry juice. That's not how it works. But at the same time, cranberry juice is loaded with vitamin C and the B complex and potassium and magnesium and other electrolytes. It's a powerful, powerful source of nutrition. It does have some sugar, although not as much as other as sweeter fruits. But you don't want to look at it as, oh, I've got this illness, I'm going to take this remedy. That's a kind of mental shortcut that human beings like to take, but that doesn't always serve us. So I'm not surprised about that.
Ben Fuchs with us, of course. And Ben, we've got emails. We're going to take some phone calls at the half for you and next hour as well. Lots of people calling. CriticalHealthNews.com, 1-855-949-7234. Email in from Nicole in California. And she says, what would you recommend, pharmacist Ben, for coming off the drug Suboxone, Suboxone? What do I do?
Well, here's the deal.
And what's that used for?
Well, Suboxone is a addiction type drug.
Is it an opiate?
Yeah, it's a way of getting off of opiates. It's got something in it called naloxone, which is something that's used to get people off of opiate drugs, and also has an antidepressant in it. So it's used. It can be somewhat addicting, and you got to be a little bit careful with it, as all drugs are, especially these semi-synthetic opioids. Opioid derivatives, which is what Suboxone is. So here's the thing. When you're addicted to pain pills or antidepressant pills and you get off of them, your body's going to rebound as you're weaning, as you're getting off of those drugs, and you're going to go through things like problems sleeping and anxiety and jitteriness. And so you have to treat your body very, very kindly. And this is really important. You've got two ways of, the body has two ways of processing the world. One is an emergency way, and the other is a relaxation way. If you're a medical professional, you call it the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system, these two ways of processing information or processing the world. When you are withdrawing from a drug, your sympathetic nervous system is going to go haywire. It's going to interpret the withdrawal as an emergency. So you have to treat the body very, very kindly when you're coming off.
You have to wean yourself, right?
Very slowly, and you want to relax the body. You want to practice your deep breathing techniques. It's great if you can get massages. I tell people when they're weaning themselves off of pain pills or off of something like Suboxone, stay in the bathtub. When you take a hot bath, you activate the relaxation nervous system, and it is incredibly helpful, not just for weaning yourself off or getting yourself off of opiates or pain pills or Suboxone, but just for lowering your blood pressure, just for activating your healing, the body's healing chemistry, just for redirecting blood flow from the back of the brain, the reptilian brain, the fear center of your brain, to the front part of your brain. You ever notice how people have great ideas in the shower?
I haven't noticed that, Ben, not for a while.
People have great ideas when they're in the shower. There's a famous story about Archimedes, who was a Greek mathematician, and he discovered the formula for fluid volume when he was taking a bath, and he jumped out of the bathtub and ran through Athens naked going, "Eureka, I found it!" And that's kind of a famous story, but it really highlights the idea that when our body is relaxed, especially when it's in hot water, we get great ideas. We activate our creativity centers. You know, we have this epidemic in our country of infertility. I think it's like 1 out of 5 or 1 out of 6 couples are infertile. Well, infertility is a classic example of an activated sympathetic nervous system, an emergency nervous system. So I would tell people, if you're trying to conceive a baby, before you try to conceive a baby, take a hot bath, take a hot shower, get a massage, relax the body. Likewise, the digestive system. When our body's in emergency mode, we don't digest our food properly. And this is why you never want to eat, you don't want to eat fast food, or you don't want to eat when you're in a business meeting, or you don't want to eat when you're driving, or you don't want to eat when you're distracted. In fact, indigenous cultures knew this intuitively, and they would always say grace before meals. This is the purpose of saying grace. Being grateful for your meals, being grateful for anything, activates the parasympathetic nervous system, the relaxation nervous system. And this is probably the most fundamental concept when it comes to getting healthy. Figure out how to activate this parasympathetic relaxation nervous system. All of the things that we hate about life fall under the realm of emergency. The body needs to feel safe. This is the primal need of any living system. It has to feel safe. It's not just true about the body. It's true about a country. It's true about a business. None of these living entities or organized entities can thrive under conditions of survival. In order for a person, a body, a relationship, a country to be able to thrive, it has to feel safe. Even Abraham Maslow, on his hierarchy of needs, the most fundamental need is the need for safety, the need for security. When we're in survival mode, when we're in emergency mode, our body is it's out of ease. We get dis-ease. This is where the word dis-ease comes from. When we're out of ease, when we're in an emergency posture, all of our healing and growing and thriving and repairing mechanisms shut down.
Last Sunday, I had Christian Wild on, one of our great authors and researchers with stem cells and the like, and he's been doing a lot of work on turmeric, which I recommended to him to check into several years ago. He has found out now that there are a number of studies underway by Big Pharma to create synthetic turmeric.
I didn't like that.
Isn't that amazing? It's natural. It's out there, and they're going to make it synthetic.
Right. It's not good enough. The natural turmeric is not good enough. And I know you, I remember you showing me that turmeric root when we were doing the show. Isn't that the most beautiful thing? The yellow of the turmeric and the shape of the root. It's just such a gorgeous, gorgeous substance.
It really is. But why does Big Pharma? I guess it's how they're going to make money,
right? Oh, my God. Turmeric is the most... You know, I used to tell people aloe was the king of herbs, but turmeric is right up there as far as benefits go. It's arguably the most powerful herb you could ever use. And there's a lot of good herbs, and I'm a big believer in herbal medicine, but it's hard to come up with an herb that's got more power and more broad-spectrum benefits than turmeric.
Pharmacist Ben with us, criticalhealthnews.com, and the phone number is 855-949-RADIO. People are there to give you some advice. So not doctors on the other end of the line, and pharmacist Ben is not a doctor, folks. He's a pharmacist. But I want you to know that. Bill writes, we're not going to have time. My God, this is a fast segment. So, Ben, stay with us. We're going to come back in a moment. We're going to take phone calls. I'm going to continue to go through this litany of emails I've got. People have questions for you. Tom is getting texts and tweets already of questions. So we'll go through all of that. Pharmacist Ben, and again, the website, criticalhealthnews.com. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. If you can't find it or you can't remember it, it's there for you. We make it easy for you. So we'll be right back. We'll take your calls. We'll do that next hour as well. This portion, of course, of Coast to Coast, sponsored by criticalhealthnews.com. Pharmacist Ben with us. We're going to get to your calls, your questions in just a moment, and we'll do the same next hour as well. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Ben Fuchs with us. Pharmacist Ben, the website, of course, is criticalhealthnews.com. The phone number to call if you can't get in to talk to us tonight, but you just need to talk to somebody. It's 1-855-949-7234. Just remember that. Ben, Bill writes in that he's got issues with testosterone levels. They're low. Anything natural?
Absolutely. There's all kinds of things you could do for low testosterone levels. One of the best things you could do is get in the gym and do some resistance training. That's one of the all-time great ways to build testosterone.
Really? Exercise?
Absolutely. Building muscle. Also, nutritional supplements are important. Zinc is particularly important for the male reproductive system and for testosterone and for hormones in general. And zinc deficiency is one of the hidden nutritional deficiencies that nobody talks about. Zinc is super important for not just for hormones and the reproductive system. It's important for the brain. It's important for muscles. It's important for sexuality and fertility. Also, the B complex is important. Magnesium is important. There's some wonderful nutrients for building testosterone. And you know, one of the neat things though about nutritional supplementation is we all need the same basic 90 essential nutrients. So while we emphasize magnesium and zinc and the B complex for testosterone, you can't get around the fact that the human body is designed to perform optimally when it has enough of these basic nutrients.
And if you're low in any one of the 90, does that affect you somehow?
Absolutely. If you are low in any one of the 90 nutrients, that's exactly right. All 90 are important. They are, we use the term essential, and what that means is it's like air. The thing about nutritional supplements, though, is you can go, you can't go 3 minutes without oxygen, so we very obviously know that we have a requirement for oxygen, but because we're always going to get a tiny little smattering of nutrients in our foods, we sometimes miss the fact that we're leaving health on the table, and that's why it's so important to get on a nutritional supplement program. Now, you can get by with trace amounts of vitamin C or trace amounts of zinc or trace amounts of magnesium, but you can't be optimally healthy unless you have abundant nutritional resources. This is the idea of thriving that we were talking about earlier. The body will not thrive, it will not build, it will not expend its precious resources unless it feels like there are abundant nutrients. And so when you're on a nutritional supplement program, what you're telling the body is that there's plenty of nutrition. You can build muscle. You can increase the supply of blood. You can repair. You can grow. You can be fertile. You can do all the things that you want to do. But if there's not maximum amounts of nutrients, we're so used to this idea that, oh, well, if I don't have a deficiency disease state like scurvy or beriberi or pellagra, then I'm fine. But if you have just enough nutrients to keep yourself, to keep scurvy at bay, that doesn't mean that you have enough nutrients to make your heart work maximally. If you have enough B vitamins to keep pellagra at bay, that doesn't mean that you have enough vitamin B3 to keep your cholesterol down. If you have enough vitamin B1 so that you don't get a deficiency disease like beriberi, that doesn't mean that you have enough B1 to help metabolize sugar. You've got to have copious, generous amounts of these nutrients. And George, they're just not in the food. Even if they were in the food, you would have to introduce so many calories into the body just to get the nutrients that you get from a supplement program that it would be functionally impossible to do. That's why getting on a good nutritional supplement program is so important. That's why for the last 30 years, I have been on this bandwagon. I have been screaming from the top of my lungs, metaphorically speaking, that you got to get on a nutritional supplement program. Even if you're healthy, you need to be on a nutritional supplement program, but particularly if you're dealing with heart disease or you're dealing with autoimmune disease or you're dealing with any chronic degenerative health issue. Do you know over 100 million Americans, something like 120 million Americans have one or more chronic health conditions?
Oh, I know. I can tell just with the calls that come in.
It's mind-blowing,
it,
George.
It really
we get emails at criticalhealthnews.com. We get probably 40 or 50 emails a day. the most tragic stories you would believe, just absolutely heartbreaking. But at the same time, when these people get on a supplement program, when they get on the Healthy Start Pack, for example, from Longevity, or they get on the Blood and Sugar Pack from Longevity, the turnarounds that occur are borderline miraculous. In fact, they seem like a miracle. I always say on my radio program, you're going to think it's a miracle, but it's just the way the body works. It appears like a miracle, and there's not a single drug on planet Earth that can duplicate what a good nutritional supplement program can do. And this is a very important fact for people to understand. The job of a drug is not to heal. The job of a drug is simply to change test scores or to change metrics. There aren't drugs that heal. On the other hand, the job of nutritional supplements, of vitamins and minerals, what we call the mighty 90 essential nutrients, is just that. It's to help the body heal, it's to help the body repair, and it's to help the body grow and thrive.
And back to Bill on his testosterone question, he also says his doctor would like him to start using this testosterone cream. He says he's a little skittish about it.
It should be. What you're doing is you're forcing the body to do something that it doesn't want to do. If your body's not making testosterone, it doesn't perceive the need to build. And so what you do is when you take hormones, not just testosterone, also estrogen for women, you're forcing the body to do something it doesn't want to do. On the other hand, if you lower your sugar, if you improve your sensitivity to insulin, you get yourself in the gym, you do more protein as well as the supplements we just talked about, zinc and magnesium and vitamin B5 and the B complex in general, your body will make its own testosterone. And that's what you're looking for, George. This is the kind way to treat the body. Give it the raw materials it needs, keep the toxins out, do a little bit of exercise, the body will perform miracles for you. And there's not a single drug or, for that matter, medical intervention that can do that. You know, here's the thing, George. All a medical intervention can do is radiate the body, extract a portion of the body, or somehow poison the body. Medical interventions cannot heal. They cannot support the health of the body, period.
Okay, let's go to some calls. I've still got more emails. Tom's ready with a text, and we'll get to him in a second. Jack is in Michigan, where they still haven't officially, through CNN at least, declared a winner in that state yet. Jack, what's taking so long?
I don't know. I can't speak for everyone. I'm actually calling for a different reason, but we could talk about the election if you'd like.
That's okay. Go ahead.
No. Well, thank you for taking the call. I appreciate this opportunity.
Sure.
Listening for about a year now and heard the guys from Critical Health News there a few times. But I want to give it just a very quick background that will lead up to my question. My back and neck are basically shot, and that's from and I'm in my mid-30s, but that's from years and years of playing extreme sports and skateboarding and mountain biking and
yeah.
Just a lot of crashing. So I've got a lot of chronic pain. That pain comes with its own set of ailments, if you will. It leads to some minor depression, lack of sleep. Just all the things you can imagine when you're in pain constantly.
That's terrible.
So I've tried, I stay away from pharmaceutical painkillers because I tend to like them a little too much, if you know what I mean. So I stay away from them on purpose just to not cause an addiction. And I don't like to get high or anything like that. It's just that they make me feel normal. But, you know, the damage they cause, I stay away from them. I've had people approach me, friends, so-called friends, that say, oh, you should try, you know, medical marijuana, this kind of stuff. And I've tried some of that, and eating it is supposed to help pain and whatnot. For me, it intensifies the pain most of the time. I hate it. I mean, I can't, it just makes me high. You know, people say, oh, you got to eat it, or you got to try this strain or that strain. And it makes me high, and I don't like that feeling. One friend turned me on to a product or a natural product called Kratom, Kratom, I believe it's, and I've tried that with some pretty good success. It's helped the pain, elevate my mood, and it gives me just a like pick-me-up kind of thing. And I don't take it in very large doses. I take it pretty small doses just to take the edge off. I've heard reports of people, you know, using it to get high and things like that. I haven't experienced that personally, but I've had some success with it. My question is, let me add this as well. I've done research on the internet, but that's a real mixed bag of what I found. You know, some people say, oh, it's this miracle. Other people say, oh, it's nothing more than another drug to get you hot. You know, the whole gambit of opinions are there.
Yeah.
But I'm concerned if I can take it and it works for me, and it's not negatively affecting my body, it's not destroying my liver, it's not destroying my kidneys, is it okay to take on a regular basis if you know about that product?
You know, you're dealing with a drug, okay? It's a natural drug, it's a plant-based drug, but it's a drug. And so drugs have a role to play for emergencies. If you're absolutely miserable and you're in pain, I'm a big believer in people using remedies to get rid of pain. I've been in pain. I know what that's like. But what you should be looking at, my friend, is rebuilding your connective tissue, rebuilding the damaged tissue. You probably have some scar tissue in there, and that's causing problems. You might want to have some body work done. There's wonderful nutritional supplements that have anti-inflammatory properties, especially essential fatty acids. In fact, when it comes to nutritional supplementation, nothing is more important than essential fatty acids, because essential fatty acids are very difficult to get from food. EFAs, or as we call essential fatty acids, EFAs, have superb anti-inflammatory and pain-relieving properties. So get yourself on the Ultimate EFAs from Youngevity. You'll find that at our criticalhealthnews.com website. You might also want to try digestive enzymes. Digestive enzymes are really interesting. Obviously, they're for digestion. They're digestive enzymes, but they have wonderful pain-relieving properties too. Our product, the Ultimate Enzymes, which you can find at criticalhealthnews.com, can be used for back pain, dental pain, joint pain. Enzymes have an ability to bust up scar tissue, and on top of all that, digestive enzymes can help thin the blood to improve oxygen.
And Ben, what about stem cells one day for
stem cells would be great, but there's a little too early for that, I'm afraid. But in the future.
Good, pretty soon.
In the future, yes, sir.
Pretty soon. CriticalHealthNews.com, 1-855-949-RADIO. Tom has a text or a tweet. What do you have, Tom?
We're going to start out with a text from Carolyn in Madison, Wisconsin. She says, I love yogurt. Tommy, please ask Ben if eating 5 to 7 cups of yogurt a day is hurting me.
That's a bunch of yogurt.
That is.
Now, here's the thing about yogurt. There's yogurt, and then there's yogurt. The good stuff, the real yogurt, has live cultures in it. But the stuff that you get at the supermarket is typically pasteurized, and the live cultures, the bacteria, are killed. So if you're just eating yogurt from the supermarket, the cheapo stuff, and you know the Dannon's-type yogurts, you may not be getting the good bacteria, and you may be interacting with dairy, which can be problematic for some folks. But if you do real yogurt with the live cultures in it, the bacteria in there, the probiotic bacteria, can be phenomenally important for digestive health, for the health of the immune system, for the health of the skin. Here's the thing about yogurt. Most people don't like yogurt unless it's sweetened. So you got to make sure that you're using yogurt that doesn't have a lot of fruit, the candy fruit stuff at the bottom of it. That kind of negates some of the health value of yogurt. And the best yogurt is goat yogurt. Goat dairy tends to be more human-friendly than cow dairy does. The amino acid profile of goat dairy and goat yogurt is more friendly to humans than cow dairy. So make sure it's got live cultures, make sure it's not sweetened, and see if you can get goat yogurt. And then that's a lot of yogurt, but 4 or 5 cups a day won't be quite as bad as if you're using the sweetened and pasteurized kind.
William writes, he's got an issue. He's 58 years old, and his doctor would like him to get a bone density test. What's his issue?
His issue is his body's breaking down. The bone is part of the body called connective tissue. We talked about that just a moment ago with our last caller. The connective tissue is a fascinating substance. The bone is made up of connective tissue. The blood is connective tissue. In fact, the vast majority of the body is made up of connective tissue. And as we get older, that connective tissue, like most of the body, starts to break down. So what do you want to do? Well, you'll want to reverse that breakdown process and turn it around into a build-up process. And you do it, number one, by doing resistance training. Resistance training or weightlifting is incredibly important for bone health, for building strong bones. And then number two, make sure you've got the raw materials for building those bones. Now, raw materials come in two varieties. You've got macro, big nutrients, specifically protein, is very important for building bone. In fact, much of bone, even though calcium, most people think of calcium when they think of bones, much of the bone is made up of protein, especially the kind of protein that's found in bones and cartilage, and chicken bones contain the kind of protein that you need for building bones. We have a product at Longevity, or you can get that at criticalhealthnews.com, called Glucogel Cast, which is made with glucosamine and chondroitin, which are very important, not just for building connective tissue, not just for building bone, but also for building the cartilage between the bones and the tendons and the ligaments. Always use vitamin C when you're doing bone products to help build bone. Vitamin C helps activate the production of bone building. In fact, I wonder sometimes if vitamin C deficiency is really the hidden cause of a lot of our osteoporosis and bone thinning issues that people have as they get older. Most people aren't getting enough vitamin C. We don't think of vitamin C often for the bones, but vitamin C is more important than calcium for your bones. You can't make bones without vitamin C. Also, essential fats, essential fatty acids we talked about earlier, are also important for building bones. And, of course, minerals also like calcium and magnesium and zinc play a major role in the building of bones. When you think about thinning bones, you want to think about a thinning body. And since it's not the bones aren't specifically the problem. The problem is the body is starting to break down. The body is starting to deteriorate. This happens as we get older, and what you want to do is you want to give the body some work to do, that is resistance training and exercise, and then pour the good nutrition in, nutritional supplements especially, and of course also good foods.
Donna in Huntsville, Alabama, east of the Rockies. Hi, Donna, go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Mr. Rory. Ben, I have an ongoing problem here, and it's been going on for more years than it needs to be. I have a low blood platelet problem that I've been calling in for. It's been going on for about 4 years. I wanted to know if being given blood thinners could possibly cause the low blood platelets. And
platelets clot the blood. That's the job of the platelets.
Right.
So if you're on a blood thinner, that's going to have a negative effect on the platelets. Now, why were you on a blood thinner? That would be the question I would ask you.
I was given it for a short time when I was in the hospital with an
No, then I wouldn't say that if you were only on the blood thinners for a short time, I wouldn't say that it would cause permanent damage. It's more than likely if you have low platelet count, you probably have an issue with your liver perhaps. I would be looking at a digestive health challenge. Do you have a history of digestive issues?
Yeah, that's point two.
That's where I would be focusing.
Since I was given IV penicillins, which I told everybody I was allergic to, and they ignored me.
They killed your good bacteria.
I started out with, I've had now non-stop swelling in my stomach.
Yeah, that's where you want to be focusing on. You got to start working with your digestive system. First of all, get yourself on a good probiotic supplement like our Nightly Essence. You find that at criticalhealthnews.com. The Nightly Essence is made with a very broad spectrum of good bacteria. It's hard to really overestimate the importance of good bacteria in the gut. They're important for every single health function you can name, and there isn't any long-term chronic degenerative diseases that don't on some level involve what's called dysbiosis or messed up gut bacteria. So make sure that you're on a good probiotic supplement like the Nightly Essence. I would be doing a food diary, keeping track of all the foods you're eating, and then linking your belly aches or your bloatedness, or if you have constipation or loose stools or heartburn, any of those kinds of things, link them up to specific foods. It wouldn't hurt you to do a fast for a couple of days before you do your food diary. Some of the most likely suspects for food problems are going to be eggs, dairy, gluten, and flour. A lot of people have problems with these kinds of substances. But
hold on, Ben. We're going to come back for more in just a moment with pharmacist Ben, criticalhealthnews.com.